Hip and the lip. From unknown parts of metropolitan New York City, I am the hip and this is the lip.
Yes, very good evening to you all in Hipster Nation, in Hip and the Lip Nation, I should say. As yes, another very energetic introduction there from the hip, so thank you very much.
Was that a Freudian slip where you're implying that only those that like my discussions are listening because it's only Hipster Nation? You didn't even refer to your own nation.
Well, I figure that every single person in Hip and Lip Nation is also part of Hipster Nation. So, you know, everybody's a card-carrying member of Hipster Nation if you're part of Hip and Lip Nation. So, I'm glad you pointed that out because I actually caught myself as I was saying it. Whoops.
All right.
Next.
So we are a New York Islanders podcast, and we're also a New York sports podcast. That's been our three-episode transition here. Now in, I think is what fair to say, the dog days of summer for York City.
Ugh.
And
Bring on fall.
Yes. So, well, we're working our way there, and that's part of what tonight's show consists of. So we're going to give you your fill for whatever Islanders update was not covered in the last 2 weeks. Then, so last
there are actually
episode,
a couple, believe it or not.
All right. Well, there always is something that the lip comes up with, however much you might not care. Then, we're going to continue. It's kind of a corollary to the daily fantasy sports discussion, which was kind of like a 101 on daily fantasy sports the last show. This is
hey, no one better to conduct it than the legal expert that is the hip. So
I'm an expert on many things apparently. So there's a New Jersey the sports betting legal arena has an update as the case in New Jersey had a big decision handed down. So we'll talk about that and the implications. Maybe we'll gloss over the Mets and Yankees. I mean, it is what it is at this point. Late summer, these teams are not, you know, making a big push. So we'll get there, you know, just to give them their respect that baseball is really the only sport actually active right now amongst the four major sports. And then we're going to have...
What are you talking about? Did you not watch those preseason football games? Oh, my God. I couldn't take my eyes off of them. So exhilarating.
Well, which refers to the what'll be the final main topic of tonight's show is the Lip's preview for the New York Football Giants 2016-2017 regular season.
All right.
So,
yes, indeed.
So, getting right to the chase here and staying on track, tell us about the New York Islanders and what we should care about on August 17th, 2016.
Well, I should also point out, and you said that the only active sport right now is baseball, but don't forget the Olympics. Everybody cares and is watching the Olympics, right?
Isn't
NBC doing phenomenal ratings?
I guess they're not. I did watch the women's volleyball team lose their first match in... 12 years or something last night in the semifinals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
For 8 years. They were going for three consecutive golds or four. I don't know. And so,
I did see the headline and I was like, wait, they never lose, right? Like that tandem, what's
well,
her face
it was
and
a
who's
new, it's well, the, Walsh Jennings has been
right,
on the team
it.
Since 08, but her pair is, was new, but Walsh Jennings had not lost a match. You know, not a single match in the last 3 years, I think.
That's crazy. Wow.
But, you know, all right, I'll just say this about the Olympics, and we're already off track, but that's what we do, and we end up talking twice as long as we always intend.
Hey, it's relevant.
You know what I end up feeling like more than anything when I'm watching it is disappointment for the Olympians who you see it a lot in the track and field where they – So right before the gun goes off and they start too quickly.
Yeah.
And they get disqualified. Or if they try to clear that first hurdle and they miss and they just fall. And I just feel really bad because, you know, these athletes are training who knows how much for this one moment every 4 years, and something like a mental error happens and everything that they've been putting their mind towards this one moment, and they just blow it, and you could just see it on them, and it's just devastating to watch. That is what like strikes me the most when I'm watching these, and I just left feeling bad.
Yeah, I mean, there's always like a story about like some kind of miscue. Apparently, that there was like a gymnast, I guess, that his dick hit the pole or something, and this is true. And I guess like he was disqualified, like his leg hit it, and then I don't know, it was like a headline.
That is
comical.
But, and you know, it's once every 4 years, and look, these sports, for the most part, there's a few exceptions, but they're not, you know, they're not making a lot of money. Maybe if they're lucky with endorsements.
So, yeah, and then like the girl that fell, and then she was helped up, so you saw a nice display of sportsmanship there. Yeah, the gymnast thing, that was just like a guffaw. That was very much a guffaw.
But at the same time, it gives all these athletes an opportunity that otherwise they wouldn't have, and you know, for these sports, and so good for them.
Especially the horse dancing. I always want to point out that horse dancing is, in fact, an Olympic event, and I just can't get enough of seeing those equestrian masters on top of the horse, while the horse is, I guess, dressage is the name of the event, where the horse is just, like, dancing, and, like, wow. I can only imagine how much training and how much preparation went into that. Just incredible. But actually,
that maybe we will get into it in some future episode, the equestrian... The equestrian idiosyncrasies. So, okay, back on track. Islanders, what is going on? It can't take longer than 2 minutes.
All right. Oh, and also, by the way, the Olympics did top The Bachelor in Paradise in the ratings on Tuesday. Just a little little caveat to the Olympic discussion. Or we'll end that now and move on to the Islanders. Actually, and since we're on the topic of the Olympics, I'm sure everybody knows the name now, Katie Ledecky, who has won, I guess, multiple gold medals in different swimming events. That's one Olympic name. That's one name I'm sure most people are taken out of the Olympics. Obviously, you have your other big swimming stars, Phelps and Lochte, even though whatever his name is, Lochte, even though he's going to be remembered now for the guy that was robbed. But Katie Ledecky is the niece of the new owner, one of the new owners of the New York Islanders, John Ledecky, which I had heard in passing a couple weeks ago or before the Olympics started. And, you know, she'll probably will never hear from her again. I had no idea that she was supposed to go on to, you know, be this brilliant and win multiple gold medals. So go figure. And yet they actually showed Ledecky in the crowd while Katie was swimming. So you saw him cheering her on. So that was interesting to see the new Islanders, one of the new Islander owners at the Olympics cheering on his niece that's dominating in swimming. So that's a little, I guess, Islander related news. But a couple other things also, there was a story in Newsday, or just a story that was picked up as, I guess, John Tavares gave a little interview where he said that he had no reason to leave the Islanders when his contract is up. Of course, don't put any stock in anything that's said right now. We'll see when the negotiations begin with him next summer. That's when the Islanders will be able to begin talks for an extension. So, but, you know, he'll be on the team the next 2 years, so we don't really have anything to worry about, at least in the very near future. But Jimmy Vesey, the last thing about the Islanders, I don't know if anybody is familiar with that name. I don't know if you're familiar with that name, but he is the most recent Hobey Baker winner, which is awarded, that trophy is awarded to the best college hockey player. Now, Jimmy Vesey is currently a free agent. He was drafted originally by the Nashville Predators, didn't sign. His rights were traded to the Buffalo Sabres. They didn't sign him. And now he is officially a free agent. And surprise, surprise, the Islanders were on his list of teams that he wanted to meet with. Wow. The Islanders. So I guess this whole Brooklyn new ownership made it to the second round thing has actually benefited them in recruiting a guy like this who never, ever, ever would have considered the Islanders in a zillion years, you know, only a couple of years ago. So I'm sure they won't sign him. He'll either go to the Rangers or the Bruins. He's from Boston. He played in Boston. I think Boston, I forget if it was BU or BC. I forget which one, but played over there. And the Rangers, they're also one of them, you know, the Maple Leafs and a few other teams. Devils, too, actually, which is surprising. But Islanders were on the list, so they talked with him and, you know, met with him, and I'm sure we'll probably hear something in the next day or two as to which team he selects. There you go.
So you said it helps them that they have the new owners, that he mentions them a name. It helps to the extent that he's considering them, but you believe that the help ends there and he will go elsewhere. So
probably. I mean, I'd be shocked if he signs with the Islanders. And but you know, I we don't know anything. Like if this guy is going to be a good NHL player, he's very sought after. Obviously, you know, since he's looked at as a very talented player that, you know, hopefully could step in next season and contribute, you know, to, you know, for an NHL team. He's 23 years old. You know, again, he's coming off of a terrific season in college. He's got a lot of seasoning, you know, playing 4 years in college. I think he played 4 years in college. And, you know, now he's got his opportunity to sign with the team and, again, very, very sought after. So, and I will also add that Noah Syndergaard, who showed his face at multiple Islander games this season, actually sent out a Twitter that recruiting for the Rangers, not the Islanders, saying, "Jimmy, come sign with the Rangers." So, yeah, the hell with you,
siding
Thor,
with
Thor, whatever your nickname is.
So maybe he's just trying to make Matt Harvey feel better.
That must be it. Yeah. Now, all we know that, of course, he being a Ranger fan. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Next.
Well, all right. Well, okay. I think I'll give you credit. That's something. So. It's something on August 17th.
Maybe the Islanders sign him, and maybe he goes on to put up Josh Bailey-like numbers next year. Although I'm sure they would be like, wow, 35 points. Hell of a season for Jimmy Vesey. His first NHL season, a rookie. Yeah, very good.
All right, so let's talk about sports betting. Now, we went in very, very deep detail about the state of daily fantasy sports in the United States, in New York, the hypocrisy as there's leagues that have, you know, direct and indirect monetary interests in the success of daily fantasy sports in the United States, and how at the same time the four professional sports leagues are paying tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees to prevent the spread of legalized sports betting throughout the United States, in particular right now, New Jersey, where there's been a case in litigation with the professional sports leagues against the state of New Jersey. Governor Christie, in fact, is one of the parties to the case. Because New Jersey has been playing a legal dance trying to figure out a way to legally have sports betting within its borders, taking a quick step back. We did discuss this the last time, but just as a quick summary, there is a federal statute that prohibits governments from, and now I'm going to quote from the statute directly, it prohibits governments from sponsoring, operating, advertising, promoting, licensing, or authorizing sports betting. Okay? They use all those different gerunds. Well, they use other forms of the verb. But anyway, the point is there is a federal statute. So why is it legal in Nevada, Delaware, a couple other states? Because they were grandfathered in. This law was passed in 1992. And other states that had already had it in existence were allowed to continue thereafter. Or if I think the statute gave states a year, some window of time to pass it and get it going before this took place. No other state did, including New Jersey. But New Jersey thinks that they can make a lot of money from sports betting, and I'm sure they would. I mean, everybody knows that sports betting is a big black market in the United States. And so for years and years, New Jersey has been trying to get this to happen. They eventually passed a statute signed by the governor of New Jersey that allowed basically New Jersey would not regulate sports betting, but they would allow certain types of entities to conduct it, specifically racetracks and casinos. So what they were trying to do is circumvent this law, which, again, the law itself is preventing governments from authorizing sports betting.
So I'm sorry to interrupt you. So are they able, if they're not regulating, are they able to tax it then? Are they able to bring in any tax revenue from it? Or that, does that also mean that they can't gain financially from it?
They were going to tax it, yes, in the statute. Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so you're not regulating, but you are still able to the state is still able to bring in tax revenue then from the sports betting. Okay.
They're not authorizing it? Well, the government isn't authorizing it. They're just saying certain entities are not prohibited from doing it. That was the legal fiction that was, because it was suggested in an earlier case. So the leagues, again, in their hypocrisy, filed a lawsuit saying, no, this is in violation of the federal statute. Absolutely not. The New Jersey lost at the district court level. They appealed to the circuit court level, where again the decision was upheld. Then New Jersey filed for a per curiam opinion, an en banc appeal, which would, so the circuit court in the third circuit, which includes a few states, including New Jersey. Yeah, I think there's like 8 or 10 judges. I don't remember exactly how many, but a typical decision only includes 3. So you can get a majority 2-1. And that was the initial decision. They appealed that, or they asked for this en banc review, which means the entire, all of the judges on the circuit. And in a very rare case, they actually granted the en banc review. It's actually very rare to even get it granted. Doesn't mean you're going to prevail, but it was still a door open for New Jersey. Well, coming full circle, early last week, the Third Circuit issued their en banc review and upheld the decision by the 3-judge panel at the circuit court in favor of the sports leagues. Hence, New Jersey statute deemed in violation of the federal statute that prohibits the authorization of sports betting.
So what is next for New Jersey?
Right, exactly. So they can do a few things. One, they could appeal the decision to the Supreme Court of the United States. They have until November to do so.
Groundbreaking, I mean, which could be a landmark watershed moment for sports gambling in this country, correct?
The problem is...
If they grant the petition?
Right, they'd have to not only grant the petition, but then they'd have to rule in favor of New Jersey. I mean...
Whichever way they rule, right, it could be a landmark case, right?
It would be, but granting the petition in the first place is a very low percentage. So a lot of cases, it's called file a writ of certiorari, just for the Supreme Court to agree to hear the case, and there's a very low percentage of cases that are accepted. It's like under 5.
Yeah, it's like very thousands low. Of thousands of cases are brought like every year, and they hear like what, like 50, so, like 70
so you
or
might,
something.
You might wonder, like, in what situation would the Supreme Court grant cert? If it's a really, really, really important issue like Obamacare or abortion, etc. Those are situations where you see them grant cert. Or if you have what's called a circuit split. So you have the Third Circuit, which is New Jersey, Pennsylvania. I don't know what other states. But there's like 11 circuits throughout the country. And a different circuit could rule differently on the same issue, right? So if you have 2 circuit courts in different jurisdictions ruling differently, that is a prime situation for the Supreme Court to step in and lay it down.
Oh, so that like gives them more incentive, you're saying? I didn't know that. So that's something that could actually give the Supreme Court more incentive to agree to hear that and grant the writ
Absolutely.
If that happens? Wow. I didn't know that.
The thing is, for another state to even get to that point, it would take years. And if for another case. So another state would have to pass another statute, and basically they would have to prevail because another circuit would have to have a different opinion than the third circuit. If right. if another circuit has the same opinion as the third, then you don't have a circuit split. They could think, look, there's no harm in filing a writ of certiorari to the Supreme Court. I mean, other than time and legal fees, they could try. Or they could try a different, what they call a partial repeal. That's what the statute basically did. They repealed their it's like decriminalizing sports betting. Like, we're not going to regulate it. We're not authorizing it. But these types of places can do it. The opinion suggested maybe a geographic repeal. So, you know, so it's allowed in Bergen County and Monmouth County and Hudson County, but no other county. Would that pass muster? We don't know. Or they could take it to the extreme, New Jersey, and say there's a complete repeal of sports betting in New Jersey. Complete repeal meaning complete decriminalization. We're not prosecuting anyone that – seriously, they could do that. They pass a law. There's no criminal prosecution against anyone who conducts sports betting. We're just not, you know, it's not against the law.
So like the mafia can go like right onto like the lawn of like the governor's mansion, like of Christie's house, and go,
yes.
Hey, look, I'm taking bets on the Giants versus Cowboys. Okay.
Yes. So, New Jersey senator who's been behind this effort for 5+ years more has came out and said he is going to test the temperature of the public, of the legislature, of the governor on repealing all sports betting laws in New Jersey to see if it's a feasible option. Maybe just keep it to restricting where it can be done, and that's it. So he actually commented, Senator Lesniak said, maybe we can just use our police powers to restrict it to certain locations. So this is a less extreme example, but apparently gentlemen's clubs are subject to similar restrictions in New Jersey where it could only be allowed in certain locations.
Yeah, so you can't open up a strip club anywhere you want, huh? Interesting.
I guess not, and not in New Jersey. Anyway, the beat goes on. I don't know if anything that New Jersey does is going to make a big deal at this point. I think what would be really interesting is if somebody challenges the legality of one of these daily fantasy sports laws in the face of the federal statute that prohibits the authorization of sports betting. Because the leagues won't do it. Right. The leagues want the daily fantasy sports laws. So how could a sports league on the one hand argue that sports betting violates this federal statute, but daily fantasy sports does not, when the statute really does kind of cover daily fantasy sports? I think it does.
I think it absolutely does. I mean, it's gambling. It's a game of chance.
Doesn't say that. It says on a wagering scheme, directly or indirectly, on one or more competitive games in which amateur or professional athletes participate. I think it's covered. I think it's gambling or wagering or sweepstakes. I think daily fantasy sports, there's an argument that you can make that it falls under this federal statute. And so these state laws that are passing daily fantasy sports are going to be subject to a challenge under the same federal statute that struck down New Jersey sports betting law.
But
it's not going to be taken up by the leagues because they have a financial interest in seeing daily fantasy sports succeed.
No, I can't wait. Like we said a couple weeks ago, I can't wait to see those DraftKings and FanDuel commercials come back during football games.
Back. They're going to be back. I mean, there's already, you know, in the states where they're legal, people are doing preseason daily fantasy. I mean, it's happening.
And I actually just saw that Massachusetts has become now the 9th state to legalize daily fantasy sports.
Yeah, that was a long time coming. They had regulations drafted. We saw New Jersey is not a big surprise. I'm sorry, Massachusetts. Anyway, there you go. Look, I mean, the most like practical thing, not that it's realistically going to happen anytime soon, but you got a federal solution to all this. You partially or fully repeal that federal statute on sports betting, but, you know, asking Congress to do anything along those lines, good luck.
Yeah, well, it's time that they do this already.
You know, it is going to happen, but it might be closer to 10 years than 5. I mean, I don't know.
But you know what? This debate's been going on for how long now? We've been having like this discourse in this country for betting in general, gambling in general, but also sports betting. And, you know, because so many people would love to participate in sports betting. So maybe people do participate, you know, even putting daily fantasy sports aside for a moment. So many people do illegally participate in sports betting. I mean, you have so many, I mean, you think about what like one of the biggest like black market, like underground markets is, and it's sports betting, right? I mean, that's what I would guess. I can't imagine it not being one of like the biggest, underground illegal rackets like in this country. So, I mean, you think about how many bookies there are that take bets on every sport and especially football. And it's just time that they just, you know, regulate it already, legalize it, regulate it, whatever, just get it over with and stop with all the hypocritical laws and statutes and this state can do this, but that state can't. And, you know, we're going to deregulate as in like Jersey. And it's just like, all right, enough already, enough. Stop insulting all of us.
But it's going to keep going.
I have no doubt. I'm sure this is not going to be, like you said, it'll probably be 10 years at close and not five, or it could be even longer. I mean, it could be another 25 years. Who the hell knows?
So, all right, moving on here, I'll bring up the Yankees. A couple of players did announce their retirement or imminent retirement.
Oh, yes.
Mark Teixeira, Alex Rodriguez, guys that are, you know, Alex Rodriguez in particular just put a unique mark on baseball history in many ways.
To say the least.
And so, look, I mean, talk about what you want about the Yankees and then to Sharon A-Rod.
Well, so I go from Yankees and then segue into Sharon A-Rod, or should I start with the Sharon A-Rod and then get into the implications of them not going to be there?
Instead of doing any of that, we'll just continue to discuss what is the best order in which to discuss these. And then we'll just go right on to the Mets.
Well, hey, I think people would enjoy our discussion as to how we should format our topics and, you know, the order and the segues and et cetera.
Yes, maybe we should have a show dedicated to just that.
How long? What are we at now? We started this 25 seconds ago. All right, so
exactly.
All right, you know what? We'll organize it better for next time. This is too impromptu. So all right, well, how about this? We'll start with A-Rod and Teixeira. How about that? And then we'll move into Yankees and Mets. All right.
All right.
So, I mean, and, you know, since you were used to be a Yankee fan, you know, please, I don't want it just to be me. So, I mean, A-Rod, and, you know, we talked about the Hall of Fame, and we've talked about Piazza finally getting in, you know, a guy that was, you know, allegedly did steroids, or at least people had suspicions that he did steroids, and that's why he didn't get in right away. And we've talked about all the Hall of Famers or the would have been Hall of Famers like Bonds and McGuire and Sosa and Clemens, et cetera, that did not get into the Hall of Fame because of the cloud of steroids hovering over them, whether they were actually, whether they admitted it, whether they were caught, whether there was just overwhelming evidence that they did cheat and take performance enhancing drugs. Now, A-Rod, of course, you know, he's admitted to it. He's been caught. There's all of this evidence that was accumulated by Major League Baseball and, of course, the biogenesis, right, scandal from a couple of years ago. And You know, it's amazing when you look back at A-Rod's entire career. And I mean, you look at him as one of the most controversial and polarizing athletes of modern times. And how tumultuous his career was from start to finish, when, you know, he starts out as this hotshot player in Seattle, you know, playing with Griffey and, you know, pretty good Mariner teams, and, you know, just putting up great numbers with the Mariners. And then, you know, he leaves after the year 2000, I think it was 2000 was his last season with Seattle. And of course, Seattle will go on to win 116 games the next year after they lose A-Rod. So of course, that's something that followed him around for a while, is that he wasn't a winning player, and he was not a vital part of the equation for a team to win a World Series. But and then you remember, you know, his flirtation with the Mets and 24-1 from Steve Phillips, who the Mets, I mean, Mets had a huge need for A-Rod, and it would have been the perfect match for him to come here and, you know, sign with the Mets. Of course, didn't happen. He goes to Texas and signs that ridiculous $252 million contract. After 3 years, Texas says, wow, we are worse than we were before. We are paying this guy so much money. What's the point? Let's just see if we can just get rid of him for pennies on the dollar here. And of course, then everybody remembers the whole thing with the Red Sox, and they were going to trade for him, and the trade was done, and they were going to, but it was just contingent upon him reducing his, you know, the amount in the contract, which the Players Association then put the kibosh on, said, no, you can't do that. Deal falls apart. Yankees had just beaten the Red Sox in 03, and Aaron Boone hits the home run, and Aaron Boone's playing third base, and that's the position that A-Rod would have to play because Jeter's at shortstop. Aaron Boone injures his ankle playing basketball in February of 04. Who can forget that? All of a sudden, here come the Yankees calling Texas, hey, we have a vacancy at third base. How about that A-Rod guy? And before you know it, deal's done. Soriano's in Texas. A-Rod's here. Jeter with the scowl on his face at the press conference saying, this is my team. I don't want this jerk here. We used to be friends. We're not anymore. He criticized me in SI. I don't want him here. I hate that he's here. And that's the beginning of the A-Rod era, of course, with the Yankees. And then, you know, some of the iconic images of that first year, at least anyway, the glove in the face by Varitek and Fenway, him slapping the ball out of Bronson Arroyo's hand in game 6 against the Red Sox in the LCS. A-Rod hitting, you know, 600 the first 3 games of the series, like everybody else on the Yankees. But then the last 4 games, you know, he hits like, you know, 2-for-20 or whatever it was, you know, does nothing the rest of the series, which none of the rest of the Yankees did either. And I remember saying to myself after that, and I was devastated as a Yankee fan after that 04 LCS, I was devastated. But I remember saying to myself, I was shocked at all the criticism that was going towards A-Rod as opposed, I mean, you could have pointed your finger at so many different players, the pitching staff. I mean, the starting pitchers were just awful. You know, Rivera obviously blowing a save, the rest of the lineup going cold. So, I mean, you just looked at the whole team and said the whole team blew it. You blew a 3-0 lead. You know, you lose to the Red. You know, it was a historical moment in sports. And you could have pointed your finger at everybody, the whole team, manager, everybody. And all the blame, it seemed like, or most of the blame, was just focused on A-Rod. And I keep saying, and I remember saying to myself, wow, this just seems so unfair that this guy is going to shoulder the most of the blame for this team blowing a 3-0 lead. But of course, it comes back to, is he a winning player? You know, can a team win a World Series with A-Rod? Yada, yada. And then, you know, A-Rod goes on to have an amazing 05 season. You know, he hits 3 home runs against Cologne, which we talked about, I think, on the last show. But again, 05 playoffs.
RBIs. 10 RBIs in that game.
Yeah. And then the 05 playoffs against the Angels, you know, he bats second again. Torre just tries to alleviate pressure off him. So instead of batting him third or fourth, bats him second, you know, behind Jeter. Goes 2-for-18 or whatever in that series, and they lose, of course. I remember A-Rod grounding into a double play after Jeter got in a base hit in game 5. I think the Yankees were trying to come back, and double play from Rodriguez. Done, get series over. And then you remember 06, just like his struggles that year, and you know, he bats 8th, of course, like the ultimate, you know, one of the, at least until the steroids, of course, the ultimate blight on his resume is that the amazing, great future Hall of Famer Alex Rodriguez bats 8th in a playoff game against the Tigers, and you say, how yep. can he eighth. And like, you know, is his relationship with Torre now beyond repair? You know, how could he, you know, get over this. And then, you know, he comes out the next season, which of course is an opt-out year for him in his contract. And he puts up, you know, one of the great seasons in modern times, 54 home runs, whatever it was, 150 RBIs, batted over 300, has an insane season, hits his 500th home run that year too. Playoffs again, what does he do? Nothing. He looks like, and one of the things that I, when it comes to Alex Rodriguez, one of the things that you always think about is how fragile this guy was and how, you know, just the fact that he was somebody that seemed like it, he never embraced or relished the big moment or the big spot. You know, you
emotionally fragile.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, Derek. Yes, absolutely. I mean, you look at Derek Jeter, who's looked at as one of the more clutch players. Again, and a lot of it's perception. I mean, you can go, you know, dig into the numbers and say, well, how clutch really was Derek Jeter? And I think the numbers would partially support the argument, but there were plenty of, you know, moments or, you know, playoffs where Derek Jeter didn't, you know, put up great numbers. And but Alex Rodriguez, it just seems like perennially did not perform in big moments or in big spots in the playoffs. And then in that 2007 season has an amazing season, but then in the playoffs, I remember a game two against the Indians in the divisional playoffs, strikes out on three pitches. It was in the ninth inning, game's tied at one, winning or go ahead run on second base. And Fausto Carmona, if you remember that guy on the mound for the Indians, and strikes out A-Rod in three pitches. And I just said, wow, A-Rod looked like he wanted no part of that at bat. Instead of walking up there saying, I'm Alex Rodriguez, I'm the best player in the game. You know, if you throw it anywhere near the plate, it's going over the fence. Instead, it looked like he just wanted to get the first base and let the neck and pass the baton. It looked like he wanted no part of that at bat. And I think that was one of the things that definitely define A-Rod in terms of his career. Just again, a guy that, you know, should have been, if you feel like you were left wanting with him at times. And then of course you have the steroids and all that broke out and you know, and just, he was just completely tarnished really going forward. Had the great 09 playoffs though. You know, it was his one shiny moment in playoffs for the Yankees. Yankees win the World Series. A-Rod's a huge part of it. You know, puts up phenomenal numbers in the playoffs. And I mean, that was really it. And then, you know, A-Rod would have a couple more decent seasons. Then of course the Biogenesis scandal, the year suspension. And I mean, I know I just had a mouthful there just going through the course of A-Rod's career. And then it culminates in this completely just unceremonious moment when the Yankees, you know, they have the press conference a week ago or 2 weeks ago now, I guess it was, where they announced they're going to release him. You know, he can't play anymore. You know, he can't hack it anymore. There's no point to having him on the team. We're going to release him. And then last Friday, of course, he has his little ceremony. But again, just very, it just seemed very anticlimactic, just seeing him on the field there. You know, just the Yankees, it just seemed like they were saying, here, take your gold watch and get the hell out of here. You know, we'll give you your base and, you know, your little 10-minute ceremony, which, of course, was interrupted by a downpour and, you know, more metaphors thrown out there about how, you know, it was very, very symbolic, you know, the rain coming down on A-Rod's parade. And I mean, and that's it. And now he goes into oblivion. You know, who the hell knows if we'll ever hear from him again. He's going to be an advisor supposedly next year, but he'll still be paid his $26 million or whatever it is next year. So that's it. You know, Jeter gets his huge ceremony, his huge, you know, outpouring, you know, of all this admiration and reverence over the course of his, you know, last year. And the same thing with Rivera. And, you know, Rivera just had his ceremony at Yankee Stadium last weekend. And, you know, and A-Rod, it was just basically thrown out the door, you know, arguably one of the best players in baseball history who hit 696 home runs and, you know, just is, you know, would be one of the best players who ever lived, at least, you know, sans the steroids. So, really just an incredible ending for a guy of his stature.
Footnote, you mentioned the episode with Fausto Carmona.
Yes.
So Fausto Carmona's most recent MLB appearance was the day before A-Rod's last.
Really? He's still – Fausto Carmona's still on a – pitching? He's still on a team?
Well, if you look up his name, you may not find him because he changed his name Hernandez.
I forgot. Oh, wow.
And he started two games for the Braves earlier this month. And he started two games, Guess how many total innings he pitched in those two games?
3 1/3.
No, he made it 9 innings, 13 hits, 8 earned runs.
Pretty good.
1 walk, 6 strikeouts. So at least he has a 6-1 K to walk.
It's almost as good as Drew Smiley's or Michael Pineda's.
So Fausto Carmona is still hanging around at 35, and they designate him for assignment the day that A-Rod's last game.
How about that?
He was designated for assignment by the Braves, which is pretty sad because the Braves are terrible. But yeah. I was waiting to bring that up after
you heard me say Fausto Carmona. I remember that at bat very vividly, though. I just tying run on or go ahead run on second base, and there's A-Rod, you know, coming off this incredible season. Bam, 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 sit down. And it's like, are you kidding me, A-Rod? Are you kidding? That's amazing, though. Fausto Carmona. Roberto Hernandez.
Different set of expectations for A-Rod compared to guys that were revered from start to finish, like Jeter and Mo. Those were guys homegrown. And they matured over time, whereas A-Rod was given this huge contract to come to the Yankees. They paid him a ridiculous amount of money, and so fans have built into their minds that he's going to be the difference maker. And so whatever the situation, it's more magnified the expectations. And, you know, I think there were instances where he sucked.
Yeah, and
so that was there was little upside to what A-Rod could have accomplished given the expectations going in. What was he going to win? 3 more championships? I mean, it's so hard to win a championship every. You just can't do it. There's 30 teams that are competing, you know, for this one thing, and he just joined the team after they, you know, 5 to 10 years prior were 1 3 out of 4 years. So it wasn't set up well for A-Rod to conclude his career as a Yankee on a high note. Now that, you know, I think about all that background.
And look, he was always a lightning rod. Yeah. And just he always attracted all this attention.
Personality-wise.
No, he didn't. And you know, he was definitely somebody that, you know, he wanted to be, you know, Derek Jeter. He saw like all of the admiration and, you know, all of the reverence that was, you know, given to Derek Jeter. And he said, you know, I want that too. You know, I want to be loved just as much as Jeter or the next guy. You know, I don't want to just be, you know, looked at as a selfish, you know, greedy athlete that, you know, only cares about his individual performance. I want to, you know, show that I'm a team guy and that I'm a leader and that I, you know, that I can be a part of something bigger than myself. And obviously the 24-1 comment by Steve Phillips. And, you know, he was just always looked at as very fake, very phony, and that he was just always concerned about his public image. And, you know, he just garnered so much attention every move that he, and again, you know, partially to blame, fully to blame. I mean, it's debatable, but he was always that magnet, always that lightning rod, you know, obviously a very, very easy headline, you know, to put on the back page, you know, since his nickname is A-Rod, Lightning Rods. But, and, you know, it was just, there was always something else with A-Rod. It was, whether it was steroids, obviously, but before that, it was, you know, sneaking around with like a blonde in Toronto and, you know, criticizing this one and saying that. And it was just always something else that was non-baseball related when it came to A-Rod. And I just think it was just overwhelming for him. He didn't know how to handle it naturally, and he just tried to create this facade that I think a lot of people just saw right through, and that was just always his problem. And again, whether it was fair or unfair is debatable. And you know, it's just, you know, people have tried to psychoanalyze A-Rod for a long time, especially when you go through prolonged slumps and you say, like, what, you know, how emotionally, like you said, how emotionally fragile is this guy?
So I guess it goes without saying that he will not be a first ballot Hall of Famer. he was suspended. I mean,
until the baseball writers say we're going to let in, and again, this just goes back to
Let in at all.
Yeah, and unless, you know, everybody else gets let in, he will not be let in either. And however you look at that, whether it's a shame, whether it's too bad, whether, you know, you care, you don't care, baseball has to find a way to reconcile this issue because it is a blight on the sport. People care about the Hall of Fame, especially in baseball, people care about these records, these numbers, and baseball has to figure out something here. They can't just ignore it and say, well, you know, the baseball writers, it's their vote. We have nothing to say. We have nothing to do with it. Baseball has to figure something out.
See, the problem is, like, if these guys start getting, like, Bonds, McGuire, Palmeiro, Sosa, A-Rod, like, what is the ceremony going to be for them? Like, are they going to be entitled? Like, it's going to be a farce. Can they, like, have these emotional speeches that Piazza, like Piazza just gave and Griffey? Can you imagine that?
I remember the first time I took out that needle and I put it in my arm. I just knew I was bound for greatness. And I just knew that it was going to ultimately lead to me on this step here in Cooperstown.
Maybe they'll, like, start only allowing these speeches for guys that are elected in person ballot. I don't know, but they're obviously going to have to change something about the policy.
They do. They have to figure something out here. They can't just ignore this era.
You can't let 30 guys that had this huge impact on the sport just not be part of this museum that people go to.
Or at least, you know, acknowledge. You don't have to necessarily recognize them, but you have to acknowledge that they're there. They exist. You can't sweep them under the rug and say, you know, baseball, you know, nothing happened from, you know, 1992 to, you know, 2011, whatever. You know, you have to acknowledge that it happened. It's part of your history, whether you like it or not.
All right.
A-Rod's a big part of it.
I'm good on that.
I'm sorry. I know I was going to segue into the Yankees. We still can, because A-Rod is now going to be an advisor to the.
You know, here's what we could do. I'm going to propose a change in our a live proposed change of our agenda here, and reserve the Giants. We'll do a full football show next week.
All right.
So we just You know, we'll study the next preseason games closely first, just to get that. Very important information. We'll finish up here with the baseball and, of course, the hipster beer of the week. All right. So since, you know, I didn't realize we would talk about A-Rod so much. There's no faults. It's fine. But I don't want to shortchange the preview. So we're going to do some good football next week, some Giants, some Jets. Maybe I'll even – I think I'm going to propose that we play a game for fantasy purposes. So,
well, by that, I will start in my research. So, hopefully,
we're going to each come up with five names.
So,
here's what we're going to do. We're going to each come up with, let's say, three names, three football players who are normally getting drafted that we are asking the other person for their honest, candid opinion about. So you come up with three, I'll come up with three, and we ask each other what we think of those players.
And just from a fantasy perspective?
All
right. Yep. All right. So, like,
maybe do you think? All right. So what we'll do is what we'll say,
Devin Funchess.
Well, what we'll say is this is the player's current average draft position. Do you think he should go higher, about the same, or lower, and explain why and what you think about this player?
Well, if you ask me about Ezekiel Elliott, I'll say lower.
No, higher, instead of being taken fifth, you know.
Okay, seven, actually,
he's taken second.
First. He's better than everybody. He's
so
the best
so we'll do that. So next show, we'll do the football team previews, and we'll throw in some fantasy fun. In the meantime, let's get to the Yankees.
Well, I guess may as well. And also that guy Mark Teixeira is retiring too. So he was not going to be back on the Yankees next year. Anyway, he was at the end of his contract. And, you know, a guy that, you know, had a nice career with the Yankees, or a good, very good major league career, pretty good with the Yankees. Is he a Hall of Famer? That's, you know, the question. He has never been whispered in the same sentence with steroids, so the writers don't look at him as a steroid guy, then I think he will be a Hall of Famer. Maybe not first ballot, but I think he'll eventually get in because he's got numbers that would suggest that he's a Hall of Famer. So, but A-Rod will supposedly be an advisor for the team next year if he doesn't do anything else. And he will be advising all the young players now. You watch the Yankees, and it's funny. You know, you think about the Yankees and the Mets, and we'll get to the Mets too. You think about where the Yankees and Mets were coming into this season, or specifically where they were a couple months ago, and the Yankees were the old, boring, mediocre team that you had absolutely no desire to watch. And me as a Yankee fan, I had no desire to watch them. I said, why? They're a mediocre team that offers no excitement at all. Why am I going to watch them? And the Mets were, they had this great, young, exciting pitching staff and coming off of a World Series, and they're the team now to watch. They're getting better ratings than the Yankees, et cetera. And you fast, you know, fast forward 2 months later, and it's the complete opposite now. Now the teams have done a 180. Now the Mets are the boring, mediocre team that is within playoff positioning. But you know, I would definitely not say that they're a favorite right now to get one of the spots. And the Yankees, not that they're a contender, but now they're actually a team that you want to turn on because they have, you know, they brought up a couple of young kids that are performing pretty well. You know, the Yankees have won a few games here and there. You know, they've lost a couple in a row now, but you know, they're going to lose games here. They're not making the playoffs. We know that.
They were up 5-6-0.
6-0, yeah.
Pineda was shut out the Blue Jays for 5 innings. A storm came. They took him out, and then Toronto roared back. Yeah,
and they blew up the Yankee bullpen. And this is what, because you know that if they still had Miller and Chapman, you know that the Yankees probably win that game. So that's why they're not going anywhere. For those that are delusional that the Yankees are going to make a run here because they won a couple of games with the young kids, they don't have any pitching. So the Yankees aren't doing anything. But you actually are excited now to turn them on and watch guys like Aaron Judge, guys like Tyler Austin, guys like Gary Sanchez, who's hit 4 home runs since his recall.
And Gary Sanchez just can't stop hitting right now.
Fantasy baseball keeper. Aaron Judge too. And Aaron Judge hit like a 500 or like 400 and change foot home run to dead center field. I mean, the guy could play defensive end for an NFL team. That's how massive this guy is. And you know, he comes up and you want to watch his at bat because you don't know if he's going to hit the ball, you know, 400 something feet. Although Gary Sanchez apparently has hit a few 400-foot home runs too. So right now the Yankees are an exciting team, and the Mets are a dull, mediocre, boring team that's, you know, has a chance to make the playoffs. But right now, I mean, you have no confidence in them. So, you know, the Yankees, look, we you know, there's really not much more to say about them. You know, they're going to play their young players. They're going to audition them for next year, you know, get an idea going into spring training next year.
They'll sign people in the offseason. They always do.
We'll see what their approach is, considering that they have all these hotshot prospects now. So, you know, something I mentioned on the last show, it'll be interesting to see what their approach is.
Yeah.
And to see if they are willing to, you know, just allow their young players to go through, you know, the trials and tribulations that young players do and cost the Yankees potentially a few wins and maybe a playoff spot, you know, in the next year or two. So, but that's the question. Will they allow their young kids to develop and, you know, do this the right way? Bring in, you know, veteran guys. Right.
They need to develop a new face for this team or faces.
Well, they may have a couple.
They may have a couple. Lacking that. Didi Gregorius, the face of the Yankees right now? I mean,
Didi has established himself as a pretty good player. And a guy that you definitely will feel comfortable at shortstop for the next few years. So, there you go.
All right.
And how about those New York Mets, Mr. Met fan?
Well, there's nothing really new to say from last time. I mean,
they continue to be a couple of three games back of the second wild card.
I'm sorry. They reacquired John Neese, who tonight did not make it into the fifth inning. Yeah. They kind of got to him in the fourth there. He let up three runs in the fourth and a fourth run in the fifth, and they took him out.
I mean, this is a playoff team. You're going to lose 5 out of 6 games to the Arizona Diamondbacks. This is a playoff team, really?
They're 60-59. I mean, they're not really a playoff team.
Well, I mean, the Met fans, I think the ones that just coming off of last year say, oh, no, I think, this team could be a playoff team, and this team should be a playoff team, and if it's not, the season is a colossal failure. And you know what? They'd be right if they say that, because this season would be a colossal failure. Despite the injuries, despite everything, that this Mets team is just really just – they hit a low point that you never would have thought was possible when they lose 9-0 to the Diamondbacks, you know, on camp day at Citi Field, you know, and then get blown out, or I guess they made it interesting in the next night against San Diego. But, you know, right now, Syndergaard's an average pitcher. I know he pitched okay yesterday, but he's pitching to a 4 ERA over the last couple of months. Cespedes is supposed to be back, but you don't know what his deal is. Bruce is 8 for 50 with the team since the trade, or at least going into, I think, yesterday with 2 home runs and 5 RBIs. Conforto doesn't know which end of the bat to hold. Now he's in the minors.
The St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and San Francisco all have significant leads on the Mets. The Miami's ahead of them too, but Miami just lost Stanton and they lost one of their starters, Adam Conley. They're in trouble.
And I guess they're not getting A-Rod. A-Rod, I guess, said he will not be signing with anybody. Oh.
I can't see the Mets overtaking. They'd have to overtake two of these three teams, the Cardinals, the Pirates, and the Giants. I don't see them overtaking two of those three teams.
I mean, they're there, but it's just that there's no – they haven't given you any reason to believe that this team is going to go on like a, you know, like a streak where they win like 12 out of 15 and, you know, establish themselves in a wild card position. I just don't see it happening. And
we'll see. We'll
DeGrom
check back
has
in
been their best pitcher by far, and, you know, he's really
we'll
the only
We'll check back in a week. That's it.
I guess we will.
That's it. All right. Well, I am ready to get to the beer of the week.
All right. Hipster
beer of the week is called Grimm, G-R-I-M-M, Telekinesis.
And I have had it. Yes, indeed.
I did not know that.
Never mind. Wait. What was the Soviet bar we went to again? The communist bar, proletariat.
That was Grim Rainbow Dome.
Oh, right. That's right. I was looking for the Grim Telekinesis.
I told you where you could get it, but apparently you couldn't find it.
I need you to help me find it.
So, it's a hoppy, tart, and smashable American Wild Ale. So, here's the thing about Grim. It is what's called a nomadic brewery, where they are, quote-unquote, located in Brooklyn.
Sounds pretty
so, they don't have their own actual physical premises to brew beer. They are what they call themselves, nomadic brewers, so they make their beer in other breweries, not their own. So you can't go to a tasting room for Grimm and drink their beer. You have to find their beer in bars, or if you're lucky enough, it's easier to find their beer in bars than it is to find it in stores. Stores do carry it.
You're telling me.
Finding it. You can, but they only release beers once or twice a month, and in New York City area, you're not. I'd
in
be shocked.
True hipster fashion, only a couple times
you
a month.
You have to get them in the boroughs or in surrounding New York communities. Maybe you could get it in Long Island. You could get it in like Orange County, Westchester. Yes, it does get that far. Good luck if it's further away. I go this far to say because Grimm beers generally are very, very highly rated. Like not even just this Telekinesis is a more sour beer. When I first had it, and this isn't in the description at all, but when I first had it, I took a sip, what a grapefruit beer, what I thought a grapefruit beer would taste like. So what I mean is there's other called grapefruit beers that are too sweet. It doesn't actually taste like grapefruit. This is like has the actual grapefruit sourness to it. I don't even know if they have grapefruit in this beer, but it has that. You know, if you bite into a grapefruit, you're not getting a sweet sensation. It's quite the opposite, and this is kind of that.
Love that tart.
So Grimm, like just for example, there was a. An article that came out a week ago, 274 of the best American IPAs blind tasted and ranked. So they blind this Pace magazine, they blind tasted 274 IPAs. Grimm was I think Grimm had 3 in the top 26.
How about that? Telekinesis was there one of them, I'm assuming?
These are IPAs, so no. Grimm Telekinesis is not IPA. The point here is that Grimm really, if you find any Grimm, it's probably pretty good. So if you're fortunate enough to come across it, try it if you're at a bar and you see it on the list. Just to throw another one out there, it's not an IPA. It's a Grimm that I stumbled upon last week. Had no idea it existed. Grimm Boysen Rebus B-O-Y-S-E-N, Rebus, R-E-B-U-S. I was at this restaurant that I knew had good craft beer, but on their list, it was on the soon to come, until the server pointed out that this Grim beer, they just opened the keg, and it's a boysenberry beer. And oh my God. So I put it on my Untappd app. So if Brad, I think it's Brad Dude on Untappd, and it's doesn't look like beer. It looks like a Shirley Temple carbonated. Like that's the color of it. But it was amazing. They just, I don't know how they brew their beer in different breweries and get it to be so good.
Boysenberry beer.
Wow. That's a first. There you go. That's what the craft beer industry has come to. Is
well, they know beers. Who their target market is. They are a brewery in Hipsterville, so they
it
know.
It was amazing. That was an amazing, you know, like when stumble on something like that. All right. So for real, we are going to get into football more next week. We're going to be in this. We already in the latter half of the month, but it's going to be almost the end of the month. Or nearing to it, and you know, fantasy football drafts are going to be in full swing. So, we're gonna get there. It's fantasy football season is on the precipice.
Yes, it is around the corner.
All right. So all on right. that note,
so yeah. Also, we'll do a full Giants and Jets. I mean, we haven't really done like a full Jets preview, so we'll do that next week. Giants and Jets. All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right. All right. All right. All right.
Next. Until next time.
All right. All right. All right. All right. All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.